It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Closing in on Christmas, Santa busy at the North Pole, Dave Gosher, Darren Elliott busy here at our studios in downtown Summerlin for this Christmas-ish edition of Nighttime at Noon. Great to have you with us on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all of our social media channels. All right, I'm going to get this out of the way now, Darren.
All right.
So I'm looking at my phone here, and I took screens.
You can see it.
On the social medias, you can see it. Here's what I've got for my snapshots of the weather app in Calgary and Edmonton. Zero, started at zero, minus four in Calgary, minus 11 in Edmonton, minus eight.
Was that Celsius?
That's Fahrenheit.
It'd be really cold.
It got up to eight in Calgary. That was balmy.
Yes.
Minus eight in Edmonton, minus seven. And that was the last one I took. Minus nine. Minus nine, I think, was the cold. So anyway, when we get off the plane and I pulled in my driveway at two this morning, nobody was happier to be back in the desert than me. Because I've been here 8.5 years. My blood's thinned right out. So I'm officially a wuss.
Well, no. It's, you know what you are missing, and you're not missing it.
No.
Right? It's like
I lived in the Northeast my whole life until 8.5 years ago.
Exactly. And yeah. The other thing is, for you and everybody on the broadcast team and the team and everybody else, that's eight different cities. Yep, one of them happened to be Las Vegas for one game. That was really, to me, an eight-game road trip, essentially.
I know we stayed in New York there, same spot.
That was well done.
It was like a little pit stop back when they played the Devils the other night. And then, so anyway, that's my...
Welcome back.
Thank you. My weather update over with, my complaining over with about how brittle I am now. And for the Golden Knights, they're back here, and they're going to be back here for a while, right? No more this city, that city. They'll be here, starting with a four-game homestand that begins tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. And then, of course, the Christmas break, which is... The NHL does it right? They shut it down December 24th, 5th, and 6th.
Yep.
No games in the league, and then 27, 29, 31 to close out the calendar year. And coming off, Darren, it's we're going to play Bruce Cassidy's post-game media availability from Edmonton last night. First time all year. So here we are closing in on Christmas. First time all year they've lost two games in a row in regulation. Colorado's the only team left.
Right.
They don't really lose at all, but they've only lost two in regulation all year. But... coming off a tough road trip through Calgary and Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, missing Jack Eichel, Shea Theodore in both games, it showed. They've been top-heavy this season in terms of their production anyway. You lose those two guys, and it was going to be a grind. And, you know, the defensive posture has been there all season. So they were behind in both games by four goals. They usually give up 2.5, you know, on average. Yeah. Per game. So to be behind by four is like they haven't been there, and it showed.
Yeah, the Golden Knights, so they fall in Calgary. They got behind 5-1 in the second and eventually got it a little bit closer but lose 6-3. And then the game in Edmonton last night, you know, you mentioned, so you pull Jack Eichel out of it. William Karlsson hasn't, it's been about 6 weeks, I guess, for a while. Bill, if you're Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, you look and you say, wow, that's talk about –
well, that was the matchup.
In the middle of the ice.
Right.
And two pretty big vacancies for Vegas.
Well, especially against Connor McDavid, because one of the things in terms of why it's been such a good matchup over the last several seasons is that whether it's Jack or Wild Bill, they can go up head-to-head defensively against Connor McDavid. So without those two guys in the lineup, he ran wild, and he did the first half of the hockey.
Yeah,
for sure.
He sure did. He got a goal and two assists. Could have had another one. He almost went coast to coast, drew the penalty that led to a power play goal. But he's been on a tear. What's it now, 14 goals in his last 14 games? But he wasn't alone. Nugent Hopkins with a couple, Draisaitl with a couple of points. The big guys, Hyman with a goal, the big guys pretty much did the damage.
And they're going well right now. I think they're 8-2-1 in the last 11. And it's fueled by Connor McDavid, who – was at one point 17 points behind McKinnon in the scoring race, and now leads him.
Yeah.
That's the kind of rip he's been on. We know he's capable of it, and he's in one of those heaters.
Yeah, so the Golden Knights fall in Calgary 6-3, and then they lose last night 4-3 in Edmonton, and we will play for you now. Bruce Cassidy's post-game availability after the loss to the Oilers.
Coach, I almost hate to ask this question, but another slow start. Do you attribute this one to the second leg of a back-to-back, or how do you explain it?
No, they should be much more fatigued than we were. There was their fifth game, I think, in 9 days
in
five different cities, so that's not an excuse. We're actually usually pretty good in back-to-backs.
Yep, we are.
Don't really have a reason why we wouldn't start on time. What I saw was we didn't execute or play with the same pace or compete that they did. Why that was, it's certainly nothing to do to me with a back-to-back.
No.
We eventually got to our game, and if we wouldn't have, we would have been embarrassed.
So that part is, that weren't good enough.
I've said it all along. Our team will tend to find its way. Just took too long tonight. We're right there at the end and had a chance to get points. It's unfortunate we didn't direct any pucks at the net with the goalie out. I think we had a couple opportunities to do that. But as far as the start, not good enough again. And
yeah,
paying the price.
Okay,
we're not able to come back
extra
all the way.
Extra stick with 6-on-5 versus 5-on-4.
Let's learn from that. But
yeah,
I've used that line a lot.
Is it something that needs to be addressed again from the coaching staff, or is it something that you think the guys are really going
to
address with themselves before Tuesday?
Well, it's my job to fix what doesn't work, so it will be addressed.
Yeah.
I would hope in there they would start addressing it amongst themselves. That's part of the leadership group should be able to handle that part of it, but I'll certainly address it and see.
Yeah.
What we can do to change it.
I know. Getting long enough ripped out.
Some of it is puck management. I didn't see that as much. I thought our game was pretty clean between the blue lines. Ozone, we turned some pucks over. That if you do that with McDavid on the ice and you don't have a high forward, it's an odd man rush every time. We learned that the hard way today in the second period.
It looked like you guys were able to make some adjustments to limit McDavid as the game went on. What changed?
Well, part of it is what we got a like we didn't lose three on an Ozone situation where he got odd man rushes, right? He's going to separate. No one's catching him if you're not above him. If you're above him, you have a chance to influence where the puck goes. You have another layer of defense, I guess. So our Ozone play has to be, when you're playing against him, you have to be careful where your third forward is. You really, can't get caught. The goalie scored. I thought we were above, but he got behind us anyway, and he has the ability to do that. And some of that was maybe we could have killed the play, the breakaway goal in the neutral zone. We didn't, and they made a play. So credit to them. But our start, I think our power play, we put 5 or 6 pucks into the bumper plays we want. We didn't execute. We hit a post, but, nothing got to the net, whether we didn't hit the puck clean or were off net, whatever. And then we turned that around in the second period, got us a goal, rebound got us a goal. So that part of it was good that we turned that part around. But that was our problem the first period. Execution on the power play, theirs was good, ours wasn't. And compete on the puck, I think they're harder than us.
Pretty strong for Tomáš Hertl. What did you see out of him?
Yeah, his game got going. He got into it a bit with Draisaitl. And listen, there's a rivalry here. And we addressed that with some of the guys. Thomas has been here. It's not just another game. I don't think we should treat it that way. I certainly don't. It's 1 of 82. We know all that. It's only worth 2 points, no matter who wins, all that stuff. But, the road out of the Pacific has generally gone through Vegas or Edmonton recently, and we'd like to keep it that way. So let's do our part and, make sure that we're competitive. They know, and I'm sure they'd say the same thing. No matter who wins or loses, you leave the building, know you're in a hockey game. So that's kind of the message that we gave them after the first period. And it was good to see us, get to a proper level.
First time you guys have lost 2 in a row in regulation. You've come back so many times in games, but not being able to come back the last 2 nights, does that maybe get their attention a little bit more that this has to be kind of rectified?
You can ask the question any way you want. We're not starting on time. They have to realize it sooner or later. So to me, the answer would be, I don't need 2, 3, 4, 5 games, Dave, to recognize it. maybe if that's what it takes for them, I hope so, that we're a little bit sharper when the puck drops. So to answer your question, we'll know the next time we fall behind or not fall behind, and we'll go from there.
So that's Bruce Cassidy and saying, Dave, that would be me. But the kind of the point of that question was, and I wondered, Darren, now, look, it's the first time they've lost 2 in a row in regulation. They've had issues. Bruce termed it after the Calgary game. The story of the team largely this year has been poor starts, great finishes. But the last 2 games, they have not got anything out of them. And I guess that was kind of the – does that have a tendency maybe to get their attention a little bit more? Like we dig ourselves these holes in the last 2 nights, we haven't been able to come out of them.
And because the hole got deeper too, right? Yeah. Like I said, 4-goal deficits in the second period, really difficult to come back. They almost did against Edmonton, but again, it's been worrisome all season long. It's been a trend to fall behind. Okay, we'll get to our game. We got to our game. We scored late. We win it in overtime or get a point, which has been, you know, we've got 10 in the other column. That shows you how many times it got points in our game, but you didn't get what you really came for. And that leads in large part, as the coach was just saying, back to the starts of hockey games.
And, you know, he mentioned that the back end of the back-to-backs have not been a problem. That's the first time they came away with nothing. They were 2-0-2, it says here on my laptop. So yesterday was the first time that they came away empty. And the other side of that would be Edmonton's coming back. They had gone 9 days, five-game, nine-day road trip. That can typically be a challenge for the home team, right? You know, they beat the Golden Knights back to Alberta by a few hours.
Right.
You know, they were in Minnesota for the afternoon game on Saturday. But Bruce wasn't hearing it. You know, he felt back-to-back, not back-to-back. These teams don't like each other very much.
No.
Coming off, you know, he mentioned the road through the Pacific. He's right. I mean, in Vegas in 23, Edmonton in the last couple of years, they go to the Cup Final.
And then they've been in the playoffs last year, eliminated
exactly.
us. So
yeah.
there's lots. That's how rivalries are born, playing in the postseason when it matters.
So now the Golden Knights dealing with back-to-back regulation losses for the first time. They did not have the lead in Alberta, right, in Calgary or in Edmonton. You think about it, though, Darren, you know, that trip east, the three New York area teams and then Philly and Columbus, they did have good starts on most of that road trip.
Yes, they
did.
You
know, the story on that road trip was good first and second, good third.
Right.
But that the slow starts have, you know, the last two games anyways, have crept back into there.
And it's been more of a storyline since the beginning of the season
in
the big picture. You're trying to, you know, if you're a veteran team, so instead of easing into it, knowing that, we'll get to our game, the mindset has to be we want to dictate the style and pace of play. And that hasn't been there nearly enough for the coach's liking.
Well, the Golden Knights said they'll open a four-game homestand here against San Jose leading into the Christmas holiday and right into the end of 2025. We will get into that and lots more. Of course, you can ring in the new year early when the Golden Knights take on the Nashville Predators on Wednesday, December the 31st at T-Mobile Arena, a noontime start. A special ticket packages start at $185, and they include all-inclusive access to the party deck with a game-day brunch buffet and unlimited beer.
That's our desk.
That's right. Unlimited beer, wine, and bubbly. Use promo code CHEERS at checkout for 20% off. Get your tickets now at VegasGoldenKnights.com. That's what I need. Go up to the party deck before the game. Maybe after the game. Dave Gosher, Darren Elliott. Nighttime at noon. Lots more to come on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I feel good.
And glad that you could be with us here on Nighttime at Noon with Dave Gosher and Darren Elliott. If you're ready to score big on your Golden Knights style this season, we'll check out the Arsenal at City National Arena and the Armory at T-Mobile Arena or VegasTeamStore.com for all the VGK gear. Suit up, stand out, and show your pride. Don't forget to check out at VGK Gear on Instagram and X. And for the latest drops, you can also show your Golden Knights spirit as well. So the VGK are... what'd you say, Darren? Home for the holidays.
Home for the holidays.
Home for the holidays. San Jose coming up next. That'll be tomorrow night. And then Colorado, Minnesota. Colorado ends Minnesota's seven-game win streak with a win yesterday. They went head-to-head. And then I looked at the standings. And
Minnesota had played and beat Edmonton the day before.
The day before.
So
yes,
they're kind of running away with the hockey standings and the overall, and they're all in the same division.
Yep. Colorado at 59. Two regulation losses in 35 games, 26-2-7. Dallas, 55 points. Minnesota, 46. And then, you know, I was looking at this. And then, you know, Anaheim, 44. Golden Knights, 42. Nashville.
I know.
All of a sudden is 5 points out of a playoff spot. They were at the bottom of the West, and now they're not at the bottom of the West. So they'll be here New Year's Eve, one of the few teams in the West the Golden Knights have not seen, Nashville Predators. They'll be coming in. So, you know, we were talking, Darren, about if you kind of roll the calendar back, and you read season previews and watched season previews, I think the narrative, and understandably so, going into the season, was the Golden Knights might have the deepest forward group in the NHL, understandably so.
Yep.
You know, think about the addition of Mitch Marner, Brandon Saad stays, Riley Smith stays, they tweak the fourth line, bring in Colton Sissons. But it's been the challenge has been in that depth scoring, right? That's where,
yep.
You know, you were saying that the top guys, if you look at the top guys, have been the top guys for the most part this year and again on this road trip.
And Mark Stone, when he was in, again, yep. Part of it, he was out for so many games. When he's been in, he's been prolific. Mitch Marner, only has 7 goals, but he has a point a game, yep. Pace. Tomas Hertl, maybe the most consistent performer in the aspects that he's been asked to contribute in, which is the power play and at even strength, and in the face-off circle, obviously. Jack Eichel, we know before he was injured and out of the, not injured, but out of the lineup the last two games, driver in terms of offense. So the top guys, Dorofeev on the power play, they'd like to see his 5-on-5 play increase a little bit with Tomas Hertl. So as you said, Dave, the top guys, they've carried pretty much all of the offense. And, you know, why is that? This team's always been identified by its depth scoring.
Yeah.
Ability to roll 4 lines. I mean, how many years did we have the fourth line would start and set the tone? Maybe we have to get back to that for those starts. But, again, they haven't really produced like anticipated. And has it been because they've been chasing games in the third period and you need to catch up so whose minutes get lessened? The fourth line. That's one possible reason for it. Or do you not play them because they're having a hard time scoring? That's kind of the conundrum that the coaching staff is in.
Yeah, that's been, you know, 2 goals total, right? Cole Reinhardt's got 1. Colton Sissons has 1.
Right.
Keegan Colasar, you have to score. Colasar last year had 12, career high for him.
Right.
You know, Sissons last year in Nashville had 7, but 2 years ago had 15.
Right.
In Nashville. And, you know, Cole Reinhardt's had a, you know, kind of a cup of coffee last year with Ottawa, and but, you know, trying to establish mm-hmm. himself as an everyday player in the NHL. But, you know, that's where you know, that's been an issue for this team this year. Now you pull out of it. They're top scoring defenseman in Shea Theodore, and week to week.
And so, de-scoring wasn't there early in the year.
Right.
Shea Theodore gets it going the last month. Noah Hanifin has not gotten it going. And you're going to miss Alex Pietrangelo in some regards anyway. I don't know if any of us anticipated it was going to be so much on the offensive side of things, how it just seemed to free everybody else up in terms of the minutes that he played. And, oh, by the way, he was a good contributor offensively as well. Yeah. So you add that lack of depth scoring, D scoring compromise, especially with Shea out now, and you're trying to – and the D posture's been there. We've said that. But that means you have to try to win every single game 2-1. 3-2 at the most.
They have not, when we went into Calgary the other night, Shane and I were talking on TV about, they have not had many games where it's just been a comfortable
right.
4-1, you know, it's just not how, and look, it's, I don't think it's unique to them. If you look around the league, it seems so many of these games are tight. They've had 21 games decided by 1 goal. You know, I've said this before, Darren, their record, it looks weird.
It does look really weird.
16-8-10.
and 10 is the other.
10's the other.
And a lot of times you had to push and have some late heroics in the third to get it to overtime, and then it hasn't always gone their way.
Yeah. The most comfortable win they had was here against Calgary,
right?
The 6-1 win. Yep. And but it, every game, well, going into the Calgary game, couple of nights ago, they had had 5 in a row, 7 of 8 decided by 1 goal. So that's kind of, but they had points in all of those games.
Right.
Right. That 8-game point streak, 7 of them decided by 1 goal.
They were 6-0-2.
6-0-2. Yeah. I mean, so not.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good run.
Not inconsequential that they have been able to, you know, people call it the loser point, but those are 10 real points.
Right.
Now, the other side of that would be if they split those, so give them 5 more points, right? And they're in first place.
Right.
But they went, what did they have last year? They had 14 games last year. What did they write? Well, I scribbles here. Hold on. Give me a half hour.
All day zero.
They had 14 games. They had 14 games go beyond regulation all of last season.
I know.
And they've already had that this year.
And, again, that speaks to how close.
Yeah.
And, look, they've scored 6-on-5 goals, late power play goals. last minute goals just to get the point and the opportunity to get the extra point. Those opportunities haven't gone their way by, you know, for the most part, but you've stayed in it by garnering those extra points, but you don't want to leave it. And I don't think anybody saw this team having to go to those lengths to get those extra points going back to, you know, the deepest team on paper starting the season. Hasn't worked out that way. Stone out of the lineup. Eichel's now out of the lineup. William Karlsson, that's been a – that his loss on so many levels has really led to the line juggling and trying to find the right combinations.
And, you know, again, we've heard not much about Karlsson.
No.
He's been week to week here for a while since he left that game after the first period. So the other piece of the equation is Aiden Hill. Again, he's
right.
injured in that home game against Carolina. We have not seen him in a couple of months.
I think about Akira Schmid's season.
Right.
Out of nowhere, real solid goaltending, and then same thing with Carter Hart coming in.
Hart's been, I remember Bruce Cassidy saying, look, you don't know.
You don't know.
There's no way. You know, 2 years, not playing. But he's been, you know, last night's the first start of his where they came away with nothing, right? It was, 3-0-2 in the first five. What, as someone that played the position for a long, 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 long time.
Ago.
What do you make of what you've seen through six starts from Hart?
Like, I didn't really have any expectations because, again, as you said, David, it's such a rare situation to see an athlete miss 2 years and then come back into top-level competition in any sport. So to watch him perform at this level, I've been amazed, quite honestly. How much of it is adrenaline? Well, adrenaline doesn't get you results like you've seen. So it'll be there. Will there be a dip? Maybe, but if he would have gotten to this level 6 weeks from now, I would say, oh, he built his game and got to the top level. I think we might be seeing the top level, meaning that that's a pretty high bar, but he set it right away.
You know, and you mentioned Akira Schmid. Look, you know, last year, most of the year in Henderson,
yep,
Lindbom goes ahead of him to become the number one man at the AHL level, mm-hmm. and then late in the season, Schmid comes up and takes over the backup job from Samsonov. And, you know, when you lose your number one guy in net, like Hill,
right,
this thing could have gone.
Oh, exactly.
And so, it didn't.
No, it hasn't. And, again, the third column, the others, with the 10 in it, it's kind of same thing with Akira Schmid, right? It's like the team is hung on. What have they hung on for? Well, through injuries, lack of production in certain areas that you thought you'd get more. He's been able to deliver where you couldn't have anticipated that level of consistency, I don't think. Good for him. I remember talking to Freddie Brathwaite last year when he lost. Good teammate, didn't get sour, kept putting in the work. And then when he came up and really earned a couple points that were needed to, you know, win the division, he was that impactful in those few games that he played. It's like, you don't know when your opportunity is going to come. And that got him, okay, we know who he is, but we don't know how good he can be. So he comes to training camp and just continued to do the work and do the job. And he's really been a good first half story for the Vegas Golden Knights.
And I don't know what they do. People a lot smarter than me. Oh. And it's a low bar. Believe me, it's a very low bar. But let's just play it out positively.
Yeah,
Aiden Hill's able to come back. They've got Schmid, who's been really good. Carter Hart's been really good. It's a good problem to have, but it's also a problem they're going to have to find theoretically a remedy to here at some point down the road.
Yeah, two nets, not going to change.
Yeah,
three goalies doesn't fit. It's
no.
It's awkward for everybody, but you just cross it when you get there, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's Bruce Cassidy said this the other day. They have seen this movie so much. The injuries to keep. And look, and this year, you know, you look around the league and it seems, you know, these players that are out long term.
Right.
But, you know, Connor Bedard gets injured, taking a face off late in the game the other night.
Face off, I saw
like,
that.
You know, but look, cry me a river. There's so many key people
right.
missing time on teams around the league. But, you know, we focus on what's going on with the Golden Knights and, you know, Shea Theodore, and you've got to feel for him. This is, you know, he's had something like this. Each season, you hope it doesn't affect potentially his candidacy for Team Canada. Gets hurt in the first period of the first game of the Four Nations last year. Yeah, just started to play his best hockey.
Same thing here. He played his best hockey the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Injured. It's like, wow. You know, the team. Yeah, obviously the Olympics, nice.
Sure.
I want him healthy for the VGK, as do you.
Yes. I love both, if I had a preference. Well, nighttime and noon with Dave Gosher and Darren Elliott. We've got still a lot more to cover. We mentioned the World Junior Tournament, which is coming up here, starting right around what starts Boxing Day.
26th.
Am I right on that?
You are right.
So, so we've got that to talk about, some VGK connections involved in that. So we'll get into the World Juniors and lots more around the NHL after this on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights beginning a four-game homestand tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks. They head into the Christmas holiday, the Christmas break. And they'll be here through the end of 2025. Quick reminder for you, don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can do that with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, and also play new exclusive games, access live stats, and receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the VGK is available now and on your smartphone through the Apple Store and Google Play. Of course, the NHL, we said, Darren, and I, every league does it different. I've always liked the fact that over the last, was it the last CBA? I'm trying to
Where they added the extra day.
Yeah, December 24th, 5th, and 6th. Can't do anything in the NHL, family time, Christmas time. And But in terms of looking at the World Junior Tournament, they will start on Boxing Day, right, December the 26th. Be a great setting for it, right? St. Paul this year. The Grand Casino Arena. I still want to call it the Xcel Energy Center because it's been that for 24 years. But when we were there last month, you know how we rehearse our tees on TV?
And
You've been through the dog and pony show. It's always terrible. The rehearsal's always terrible. We hope the real thing's better. And I remember we were going to the end of the rehearsal, and I said, the Golden Knights in the Wild here from – and I had to look behind me to the big logo – what the Grand Casino Arena.
There you go.
Yep. So, but yeah, the World Junior Tournament, which is always, especially, you know, we just spent a few days in Canada, and they're running these TSNs, running these commercials, and all these great moments from years past. It is, it's always been an enormous tournament up there.
Yes.
In the States, it's, you know, different to say.
Now it's going to be carried on NHL Network.
Yeah, which is great.
Canada and U.S. games the last couple of years. This year, both countries' games be carried. You're right. TSN made it an event. I've been around so long, it was barely even known it when you were of age and eligible. It had just started. But it gained a lot of momentum. TSN put a lot of momentum behind it in Canada, broadcast from all over the world, and made it into really a national pastime in Canada. That day after Christmas, it became a tradition, and it's a tremendous tournament. I mean, for the kids, because they haven't played in the Olympics at the NHL level for a number of years now, that has replaced, to me, for the longest time, the need for the pros to go to the Olympics. The World Juniors does that for the 20 and under.
And the U.S. with a chance to try to three-peat.
I know.
In Minnesota. VGK ties Trevor Connelly, right?
Yep.
Golden Knights first-round pick. Two drafts ago, 2024, who's been with the HSK this year, played 11 games, 7 points in 11 games, but he will suit up for Team USA.
Yeah, I got to talk to him with Brian McCormick in our little podcast, Horsing Around, and he's a returning player of the team that won gold last year, so he's going to be leaned on heavily. I think, you know, Canada has the odds-on best roster. Doesn't mean you're going to win the tournament. And mostly because they have two returning goaltenders. Whereas the U.S., the biggest question mark is in goal. Trey Augustine has aged out. Still at Michigan State, high draft pick of Detroit Red Wings. So there's a little more uncertainty for Team USA in goal. But like I said, Trevor Connelly, he's really had a good start to his AHL career in watching and doing some of the games. He's a guy that can, at that level, he stands out because he can create his own shot. He can create his own room. So obviously there's stuff for him to learn, But he's certainly on the right track, and he's so looking forward to this opportunity with Team USA.
Yeah, on a huge stage, right?
And yeah.
Trying to win.
Exactly.
Trying to win three in a row.
On home soil.
And Gavin McKenna. Consensus, he'll be the number one pick coming up in June, playing for Canada. He's got off to a good start this year playing at Penn State, playing college hockey at Penn State.
It's funny, though. A lot of people saying, oh, only 18 points in 16 games. he's really hurt his draft status. Then you have to watch all leagues to understand what you're looking at, right? So if he was in junior hockey, there's a lot more playmaking, a lot more freewheeling, a lot more games. He'd have 2 or 3 points a game.
Yeah.
He's 17. He hasn't even turned 18 yet. And he's playing against guys, the average age of a NCAA team is 21 and a half. So he's playing against, young men. And doing quite well. So I don't think he's hurt his stock at all. I know a lot of people will be watching him and Team Canada to see now back with his peers exactly where he is.
Yeah, as you say, it's always a great tournament, and it's picked up, especially in the U.S. over the last bunch of years.
Because winning helps.
Winning back-to-back
National Team Development Program in terms of going after those types of tournaments, wanting to win gold at every level. And they did that last year, and they won the world championships as well in the spring, first time in forever. So that program has led to interest, and then the winning has even doubled or tripled that interest.
Was it Tage Thompson, right, scored in overtime?
Yeah.
First time they've won it since 33.
Yeah, it was some
ridiculous. 1933.
I think Swayman was in goal and got his game.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of guys go there and for the right reasons. And something tangible comes out of it for Swayman. The Boston Bruins goaltender had a subpar season, went there, had such a highlight, and has carried that kind of form into this season.
Ryan Warsawski, head coach of San Jose.
That's right.
Head coach for Team USA. Yeah, first time in forever that the U.S. won the world championships. So the Olympic rosters, what's today? 22nd of December. So we're talking, are they 31st, 30th?
Canada is going to do it. In part and parcel, I think, around that time because of the World Juniors.
Yes.
And then everybody else is just after New Year's.
Yeah.
Who? Injuries play a part.
Yes.
Like we talked about Shea Theodore. William Karlsson would have been on Team Sweden. Is he, in, out? Does he get back in time? We hope.
Yeah.
So he's, still considered for that team. Having played in the Olympics and then got to cover it as a broadcaster in Italy. Actually,
there you go.
The rink was built then, by the way.
It's a standard.
it is a great event. And some of the best moments in interacting with the players who were there then in 06 in Torino was they got to go and live in the village a little bit and go see other sports. That's what makes it special, not just wearing the jersey for your home country, which, of course, is a big honor.
Kira Schmidt, he'll play for Switzerland, right? You got Tomáš Hertl, who'll play for Czechia these days. So, we were talking about this off-air yesterday. The goaltenders of four nations for Canada. Jordan Binnington, not had a good year.
Nope.
Aiden Hill injured. Sam Montembeau's in the American Hockey League. So, Canada's going to have to – do you think Binnington, just by virtue of his what he did
– I don't know. He's really been subpar. That's going to be again. We talked about the unknown for the World Junior Team Canada entry. Same thing for the Olympic entry.
Yes, exactly right. Well, all that's in the not too distant future. Obviously, I wanted to get to Darren.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
And going ahead of Mario Lemieux yesterday for the all-time top scorer in the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins. What a career he's played 21 years, and you think about he missed a lot of time.
Remember the concussions
problems, and I know. Look, Lemieux with back and cancer,
and
certainly dealt with his more than his fair share of health issues. But the thing that we were sitting getting ready to take off to come back last night. I was reading an article on NHL.com, and Mario Lemieux broke Rick Keogh's record, right? And Keogh had it. It took Lemieux 4.5 years.
Pittsburgh wasn't very good for a long time.
It took Crosby 21 years. you know, and a great player, but probably would have broken this a little bit earlier had he not dealt with the injuries that he's had to deal with.
He would have. You know what I thought was appropriate? We had Ovechkin and Crosby will forever be linked. Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby. We had the great chase last year. Yeah. Great, right? And he breaks Gretzky's goal-scoring record. Gretzky and Lemieux were always said in the same sentence when it came to the most prolific scorers of all time. So for Sidney Crosby to pass Mario Lemieux, even though it's just a franchise record, it just seems appropriate that Ovechkin and Crosby are linked to the Gretzky and Lemieux records.
I was asking Shane, I was sitting there last night on the plane, and we were talking about this, and I said, all right, you know, I was trying to time frame wise. Does he play against Lemieux? He said, yeah, because Lemieux kind of came out of
back,
retirement,
right?
And he said that, you know, Lemieux, Ronnie Francis, Jaromir Jagr, all those guys at Pittsburgh, he said he was in Ottawa and Jacques Martin. So Lemieux, Shane said he kind of hesitated on a puck. Jagr picked it up, put it between his legs, roofed it. So he gets back to the bench, and Shane gives it one of these with a stick, slams a stick over the dasher, and Martin says, hey, what's the matter? And he said, well, you know, what do you mean, what's the matter? You saw what just happened. He goes, don't worry about it. There'll be a lot worse players that'll beat you than him.
I thought he was going to say, you shouldn't have done that to him.
Exactly. But he said, you know, that those guys, you know, Jagr with the big backside, the long reach.
They were unbelievable.
So from a goalie's perspective, let's just go Gretzky, Lemieux.
Yeah.
Who was the bigger problem? Who did you think of? Who kept you, I don't know if I want to say lost sleep over it, but, you know, no. You thought, oh, my goodness.
Well, we saw being playing for the LA Kings predominantly in my career, you played Edmonton, they were in our division. So we played them all the time.
Yeah.
So Gretzky, and it's not that Gretzky scored that many on me, just one.
Yeah.
Jari Kurri probably scored 30. His winger. It was, okay, I'm not going to overplay him. Okay, I've learned. Oh, now it's a one-timer. Now I'm going to challenge him. He's not shooting. Why would I be over-challenging him?
Yeah.
Somebody was always going to score. Lemieux we only saw a few times, but I do have a photographer from Pittsburgh sent me a picture of me stopping Lemieux on a breakaway.
Oh, yeah.
Have that big portrait picture. But again, did well when I played Pittsburgh, but again, we only played them a couple times back in the day. My one and only NHL shutout against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No way.
Lemieux wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah.
He had too much fun in LA probably. night before.
Wasn't feeling well. Oh, that's great. Well, nighttime at noon here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Said closing in on the final game for the VGK before Christmas. So we'll get into that. We're going to talk maybe some Christmas hockey traditions, Christmas traditions in general, Christmas movies, Christmas songs, whatever works for you after this on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey, Golden Knights fans, it's Shea Theodore. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon.
Well, VGK fans, the Golden Knights have launched VGK Pay, presented by America First Credit Union, as a centralized payment system within the official VGK mobile app. VGK Pay is a smart way to pay for concessions in team gear at T-Mobile Arena and the Arsenal at City National Arena. Fans are eligible to earn rewards known as Fortress Funds, and season ticket members can easily redeem their discounts when using VGK Pay. The VGK mobile app is available for iOS and Android devices in the Apple Store and Google Play Stores. So the Golden Knights, San Jose Sharks are next up. That's tomorrow. San Jose coming off a loss against Seattle in their last game. That was on Saturday. And then we said Minnesota, Colorado.
Colorado,
Minnesota, Nashville. So the Predators playing better.
Yep.
So that's what's up on the docket for the Golden Knights. And I'm curious your thoughts, Darren, on games around the holiday and being home. It's great to be home, right?
Yep.
You certainly want to have time, family and friends, but are there potential pitfalls to having games at home and a little stretch at home around the holiday season?
We love family, but, right? We all do. Let's just say, but there's a job to be done. And sometimes it can collide in a homestand like this. Veteran teams should be able to handle it, yeah. But There's also, you're off 3 days, right? At 24, 25, 26. Well, you got Colorado on the 27th. You have no idea. I don't think either coach knows what to expect from their team. Then you've got the noontime, you know, New Year's Eve game.
Yeah.
Again, that's just such a funky time. No, even if it was being played in March at noon,
right.
You don't know what to expect because everybody has their routines. You just don't know. And for the longest time, we were talking a little bit off air, this was the time the backup goalie got to play for those very reasons.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're not sure what to expect. Time to give our starter a little bit of a rest, especially in some situations that, you know, where not everybody might be mentally sharp.
So you go in there. Do your best.
This is your opportunity.
Yep.
Next man up.
Seize the day.
Seize the day.
So the Golden Knights see San Jose here tomorrow. A couple of wins against the Sharks right, this year.
Upstarts. I mean,
yeah.
Macklin Celebrini,
he's
really worth the price of admission. They play a fast game. I don't, you know, they've had problem against Seattle. They gave up a third period lead.
Yeah.
They're just young in their process, but they seem like they have pieces at every position, including goal with Askarov coming in there and giving them some pretty stout goaltending as well.
They've been able to overcome what was another horrible start. Right,
yes.
The last 3 years, they haven't been able to win early.
That's right.
And now, as I sit here, they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot. So they've been able to make up a lot of ground.
That's good progress for that where they are, right, in terms of where they're trying to rebuild, what they were coming from. Such a successful franchise for two decades. Didn't ever win at all. Got close in 2016. Lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But it takes a while. They're there. Are they there as a team to be content? On any given night, they can give you all you ever want.
They've had to endure a lot of pain, right?
A lot
of lean years. You look at what they've gone through, what Anaheim's gone through in the West. The Ducks are, you know, that's always, I guess, one of the things when you look at it, Darren, and it's been talked about often with some of these young teams that are trying to, you know, basically get back to relevance, right? And can they be a playoff team? Early in a season, a lot of energy, a lot of emotion, ready to go. Can they sustain it?
We're almost halfway through, Dave.
Yes.
I mean,
Anaheim's in first place, right?
Right.
San Jose's 2 points out of a playoff spot.
And Anaheim, they're a little bit further along than San Jose as a team. So I don't think they're going away. And quite frankly, I mean, with Celebrini, who knows? I mean, he's as advertised. He came into the league with all kinds of fanfare and he's living up to it. He's driving offense in the National Hockey League, and he's not just, you know, minus 38. It's not all offense.
Yeah.
He knows how to play defense. He's very responsible. So great things in San Jose. I'm looking forward to doing that game tomorrow with you.
Yes.
In the booth.
Correct.
Shane's off on assignment.
Yeah, that'll be good. Tomorrow night. By the way.
Yeah.
The return of Ashley Bice. Tomorrow. Here we go.
That's right.
Yep. Ashley's
Woo-hoo!
Been out on maternity leave.
The Turner guy did a nice job. Did you see that?
You know, it's funny. I didn't hear it, but I saw it.
Yeah.
I was kind of out and about a little bit. Yeah.
Had Eddie Olczyk's fingerprints all
over. Of course.
Very nice.
Of course.
Too.
Old Eddie. Yep. Well, so Ashley, her and her husband Nick had their baby boy, Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
Great name. So Ashley comes back tomorrow. So we're looking forward to having her back. We might
Absolutely.
Do the ugly, so we got a text thing going on here. We might have one of the ugly, we might do the ugly Christmas sweater thing tomorrow.
I don't know if I own one.
I'm gonna run down the street, go to downtown Summerlin, get out the credit card. Do you have any, Christmas wise, do you watch Christmas Vacation? Do you watch Christmas Story?
Love
you
Elf.
Watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Elf with the Kids. Yeah. Remember that one when the kids read of that age where that was really something. You know, that's how about you? You got any
Christmas Vacation is my favorite.
Yeah.
Eddie, I can't believe you're standing here in my living room. I couldn't be more shocked than if I woke up in the morning with my head sewed into the carpet.
Not that you remember.
Can
that
I
movie?
Take you out of the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead? I think that's the best.
If you want to go on the dark side, there's a movie we watched with the kids when they were much older, Krampus.
I haven't seen that. A dark side Christmas movie?
Ooh,
that's
dark.
Not the
it's,
real Christmas spirit.
It's dark. It's not Christmas spirit at all.
No.
But it's a changeup. It's a curveball.
Yeah, that's it. Are you finished? Like the shopping? Well, let me. Two-part question.
Yep.
A, you finished shopping.
Yes.
B, do you know how to wrap presents?
Didn't have to this year, Meredith. We got a new puppy, little puppy dog.
Did you wrap up the puppy?
I put it in a stocking and said, you better get, it's going to grow soon.
Here he is. He or she. He or she.
He.
His head right over the top of the stocking.
Rogi. Another cardigan corgi.
Named after Rogi Vachon?
Started with Roquefort because of his coloring, but got to Rogi.
Yeah, there you go. So that was the gift.
That was the gift.
So you didn't have to wrap up Rogi.
No.
But can you wrap a gift?
I can butcher it. I'm not good at it. It's not going to be good enough for department store quality.
No, you wouldn't.
If there are department stores anymore,
you wouldn't be at Macy's. Everything was
no
perfect corners.
No.
I can wrap gifts. Yeah, it's my mom, God rest her. She showed her only son, her only child, how to wrap gifts.
Wow.
So we'd have we had like a ping pong table in the basement. And that was her.
Certainly.
That was her
Staging area.
Staging area, the wrapping paper, the tape, the bows, the labels, the scissors. Everything was set up
perfect height.
Yep. And she would you measure it this way, you cut it to the, and I can do the ends. Like
wow.
I'm not like the typical guy who's kind of like, oh my god, like just stuff it in a bag and wrap
no,
it up.
I
don't have a lot going for myself, but I can wrap gifts. So at least there's that to look forward to.
Something to fall back on.
Yeah, so that's good. So Christmas vacation, It's a Wonderful Life. I always throw that on because it's so good. Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
The Peanuts thing usually finds its way on the TV. I will tell you, sometimes I doze off during that. Charlie Brown. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying I'm usually tired Christmas Eve.
Like waiting
for Santa to show up.
It's 60 years old.
Well, yeah, it's not like it's brand new. You're right. It came out in 65.
Yeah.
How did you know that? Get all sorts of useless things.
I don't know.
But I want to go to sleep because I want to make sure Santa comes.
One of the other things that came up when I went to college, you had the same kind of schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you still had the 26th off. We used to get the 25th and 24th, 25th, 26th,
yeah,
whatever. My dad and his buddies, they called it the Boxing Day Bonspiel. They rented a curling rink for the day after Christmas, and I got to participate a couple of years with them. And I'd never curled before. It's kind of fun, but it's like, okay, curl an end, have a drink. Curl it. Now I get why everybody likes the game of curling.
They were not so dumb. Did they set that up at the Elliott Mansion? They set that up right in the yard?
No, we had
to go somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of golf courses in Canada.
Yeah.
The off season curling.
That's
golf season's short.
You got about a week to play.
You need some other source of income.
That's correct. Well, we've got all that sorted out. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy
a great holidays.
Holiday. We'll see you at the rink.
We'll see you tomorrow night. Darren and I will be on the TVs on Scripps Sports, and Dan and Gary with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas. 7 o'clock, Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. We'll talk to you next time on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We'll